Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Welcome.
Well, you know, we can look at any spiritual pursuit from a description from the outside, or we can open it and get in and look at it from the inside. From the outside is descriptions, is words, text, idols. And from the inside is experiential. Experiential. It's very different. It's easy to look at things from description, from the outside, from words. It's very easy. And then take it or leave it. You say it right, it's done.
Like a test.
Like a test. Exactly. What a poor substitute for knowledge. Use a good test taker with multiple choice, and well, that's obviously got to be the right one. When we learn something experientially, it is indeed a journey beyond words. It's a journey beyond the separate, distinct descriptions. See, when you go inside and experience something, then the only satisfying thing for you would be that you would have to write about it yourself. You would have to extend it from you now, because those other words are somebody else's. And they're good, they're fine, but to capture what you experienced, it would have to come from you to go back out. See? Which is one of the huge benefits of coming to this meeting and speaking up in the meeting. When you have something to say, you may have never tried to put it in words before, but when you do, even if they come out wrong, you will sense this bridging of a gap occurring, this solidification of your experience even. It's very valuable. So A Course in Miracles has got 497,000 words if you don't count the numbers. Lots of words. Because that's all you can... When you're in trouble with the world and you believe in your pain, it's probably all you can afford is to have the outside description and give you some hope. Crack your doubts. Give you some place to go with your mind. That would be the words very quickly. It would describe a way out, something to say, something to do, a meditation, something to read to help you get out of your stinking thinking. But as you advance, this hunger does not go away to advance. It gets greater. Naturally, it gets greater. Especially if, you know, your existence to you is getting more serious. Meaning you're feeling your mortality, or you're feeling that love is all that matters and nothing else will do, and in fact everything that was important isn't anymore. These things start to happen as you wake up and you get more hungry, and the words aren't enough, and you recognize the words are somebody else's. They're good, but they're symbols of symbols, and the experience now, which you have had by that point, you've had flashes here and there that go deep and that warm your heart, and you wish that you could express it, and you've probably tried. If it's genuinely happened to you, you have already tried, and it probably failed outside, unless you're a poet or a musician and you're good. So we're doing a, for these next couple of weeks and for these last few weeks, and it will extend into the intensive as well, we're doing some bridge work from the discrete, simple, easy spirituality, which is beautiful words and phrases, the book, to the deeper, the actual awakening, which is the experience they're pointing to. It goes backwards down to what's underneath the words. Words are symbols that you learned in a language which, when you speak them, are symbols for the thought you had, which is a symbol for what you're trying to say, what you mean. They're symbols of symbols. They're twice removed, at least.
Is that like kind of a illusion upon illusion?
Yes.
Because what happened to me here was, when we're reading Wapnick's book, he's showing, here's an illusion, and this one's a little bigger, and you're thinking, well, that's bigger than... There's no difference upon the illusion. So, like Mo's talking about stuff, you may have something that happened, and you make up a story about something, mm-hmm. because you don't want to deal with whatever it is.
Yes.
So you got the real story and the one you made up.
You bury it in another story.
I think there's a big difference, right?
Yep.
And then you realize that you made this up. The difference between that one and the one that really happened is the same. They're not different. It's all in a freaking illusion. You go, yep. Whoa! You know, like almost come unglued because you feel guilty for this one.
Yes.
And none of they're the same.
And the story...
And how do you, and they all say, you go, well, it's a different... No, and it's not. And
for,
then
for our purposes tonight, that yeah. story... can be considered an idol. Considered an idol. The story represents
the idol, yeah.
some experience the way you want it to be and can afford it to be. Key term there, afford.
So then the difference between the two would be one's an idol and the other one's, but they're both an illusion and almost both an idol then, aren't they?
They're idols.
They're both idols then.
Both stories are idols.
Yeah. And then when you actually see that and realize it's real. Yeah. That's really what it is.
Idols, idols are convenient.
Yeah.
They serve you. It's only 14 sentences now. You're really getting it down. You're getting your idol down to a great story. That's a substitute for what really happened. It's very easy when you've memorized your story. Why did you do that? Why did that happen to you? Well, here's why. Took you 6 weeks to figure this out yourself, but now you can just say it. It's just a substitute that you hate. Very easy, right? The experience, on the other hand. Can you communicate the experience of a deep meaning of your own experience? It's really... You know this, I forget which philosopher said this, but they said, what words can't say out, science attempts to duplicate. What science can't describe, the poet will attempt to capture. And what the poet can't put into verse, music surely will. I just love that. So tonight, and for the next several nights, we are actually being invited by A Course in Miracles to get off of the easy stuff. We use lots of words, but you'll see some of these crazy phrases, crazy word sentences, because they are holding in them another level of teaching that is beyond words. So, for the next couple of minutes, let's jump into one of these oh-so-powerful words that is an experience. It's really invisible. So for the next few minutes, so that we can get our heads in the right place for tonight, let's think about this word share. What does it mean to share?
Share?
Yep. Not Sunny and Share.
Oh, now you're coming.
What does it mean to share? Do you have the image of Cher in your head now? The long black hair? Okay, take that out of your head.
Yes, sir.
What does it mean? What is that? Can you feel that even now? Have there been moments in your life when you felt that welling up, that desire to share? To go outside of yourself and actually include another. Personally, with something that was you or yours. You wanted to share. What is that? What's that like? You ever wanted to really help somebody? They said, hey, could you come over and help me with this? Sure, you get there and then it's a little complicated what they're going through. So you kind of have to put your feet in their shoes a little bit and ask them to describe you just what's going on and what have they tried already so that you can be there with them. You were really there to help, but you had to do something so that you could be truly helpful. What were you doing? Now take a minute to pick an aspect of sharing, just a word or a phrase, some aspect of sharing to share with the group if you wish. What's an aspect of sharing, David?
What aspect of sharing? Well, this is something I've been doing lately quite a bit.
Got married.
What's that?
Been married now for a year.
Yeah. But the thing about, I've been always trying to figure out what the sharing means, you know, uh-huh. And they talk about in the books, and uh-huh. It's been like, so I've been having like an experience where all of a sudden I just like to connect, I'll connect with the other person, like, and then it goes away, kind of goes and comes. What I'm picking up on, it's actually happening like you're talking about, but it doesn't stay. Because what happens after it happens is that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I was telling you about the experiences I'm having, I noticed then you, or you might do something that seems impossible, you know, and then, I can't do that no more.
Yes. But that's an interesting aspect then, because now it's a sharing without fear, a trust.
But I saw what I was afraid of.
Uh-huh.
Like when you were talking, what we were talking, like it keeps starting to come to me. It's like, actually you see the separation part you're afraid of, like you're afraid of God and separation and being the loss of yourself.
Yes.
So as this is going on, all of a sudden, whoa, I feel this separation. And you go, whoa. So I'm seeing the fear that we're creating around this separation because it has it. I'm looking, here's my little stories over here.
Yeah.
No, it's God.
Uh-huh.
Where's that? Giving up yourself.
Uh-huh.
So I'm
uh-huh.
actually as experiencing that, and it's kind of like you're like, whoa, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm able just, because what I've been doing is I've been looking at the problem and not judging it.
It's a big contrast.
Yeah, and it's been taking, I had to practice a lot to make it, because it's not
mm-hmm.
so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to see that in a funny way, and I can't really explain it. But,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
I totally understand what you're saying, like the way you verbalize that makes sense to me, because I'll have those moments where I just like go into like just sheer like in the moment oneness connection, and then I get a little freaked out when I realize like, wait a minute, where's my story, and then like pop out of it, and I'm like, okay, it's me, my house, my kids, my dog, my job, and that's me, because you lose it. But I mean, it feels really good, but then it's also scary.
Uh-huh. Good. Hang on to that, because that's honest. And as you do your spiritual awakening, what the Course calls the real world alights on your mind. And it must. And the real world is your everything you listed, your job, your life, your body, your everything is seen for the first time of what it actually is. Right now, it's a prayer of your ego that you would maintain the story of Cecily. But when you wake up, you look on it for just a moment with the Holy Spirit purely and undefended, and you see it all as it really is, which is the only time, Cecily, you could actually keep it. The way it is now, you lose it all. Am I right?
What does it say?
Am I right?
You know what? You lose it all?
The way it is now, the way you see your world now,
mm-hmm.
go through the list, your body, your children, your job,
your skills. The way it is now, you're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
100%. Is that true?
Well, I'm actually feeling that.
Does anybody
that,
get out like, taking it with them?
It's weird. Right. It's like... It's like, whoa,
but
it's not, everything's not real, and I'm going, whoa, it's not real, and it's like, you're like, okay, and it's different.
But
I don't know how to deal with
the
difference.
The real
yet.
World.
What's that?
With the real world.
Yeah.
A Course in Miracles has a term called the real world. Yeah. And this will light on your mind. One day we'll spend a whole week on it or something. But you've already got it, maybe, because it's pretty well described in the book. The real world is when you look on everything, your whole list, your body, your children, your job, your expertise, your car, your house, everything you know, the world, every universe, everything you know. When you look at that with right-mindedness with the Holy Spirit for the first time, completely, that's the real world. When you see it for what it actually is. You do not see it now for what it actually is. Everything, your job, your world, your car, your family, your health, your body, your bank account, everything you see is a prayer of the ego, of separation, struggle.
Or you see it through a prism of your own belief system.
Yes. That's exactly right. We're trying to heal that belief system. When you have your awakening, which is this book is driving you. I don't know, I've never seen anything faster and more concentrated than A Course in Miracles to drive you to the point of opening your spiritual eye. That term used to be in the book. When it was first described, the term spiritual eye was there. It got changed to Holy Spirit to make it less woo-woo. But if you wake up, you will see the real world, as it's called in the book. That perspective is the only way you could actually keep any of this. Because it would no longer be a lie or a prayer or a fantasy. It would be seen for what it actually is.
That actually answers the question I've been thinking about during the week.
Good, good.
I mean, not all about me, but...
It's pretty much all about you.
Yeah, it's all about you.
I mean, Leo, yeah. That's all a week on.
I'll share that with you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was thinking that if this involves this change, this tremendous change in your aspect of seeing.
Yes.
In your aspect of seeing things, when I see it differently, will it be the same? Will it be the damn same? No, it won't. It's going to be more true. It's going to be
yes.
Reality.
Yes. It's going to be more true. So it's going to have a different quality to it. It will have high quality for the first time. Yeah. It has very low quality now. It's really hard to hang on to.
I admit it.
And when I think it's strong, what I think is strong is weak. And sometimes what I think is weak would go away doesn't ever go away. That's the world I'm living in my body. It's completely backwards. But when you see with the real world, with your Christ vision, you see it for what it actually is. It's more true. Anything you can think of or see or remember, you get proper perspective. It's called right thinking in A Course in Miracles. Now you're back in control, see? You were a victim until that point. It's really good news. It's nothing to be afraid of. Especially if you like what you have. It's something to embrace as the only way you could actually ever keep it. If you wanted to keep it.
It increases a certain spiritual acuity.
Yeah. That requires that.
Acuity means sharpness of vision. In this case.
Yeah. If you wanted to keep it, okay. What if you wanted to let it go? Well, there's no better way of letting something go than knowing what it is you're letting go of. Mm-hmm. Your vision serves you to whatever you wish to do, either keep it or let it go. when you have vision. As your spiritual awakening comes and your awareness goes up, and you can see what things really are, you're back in control. Until then, I'm afraid you are a victim. But this is what we're here to solve. Yes?
The other thing I notice about, like, going back to what David was saying, like, kind of that moment of going into, like, oneness and letting go of, like, the self-identity is, like, the more I get into this book, the more, like, time is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, who's the guy? I read this book a long time ago by Kurt Vonnegut, I think, and it was a book that, like, it was so disconcerting because he would pick up at different moments of his life, like, just, he'd be, like, 12, and then 42, and then 7, and then, and all these different moments. It was non-linear, mm-hmm. right? And I think that part of the wanting to be separate and the comfort in that and the house, the dog, the job, the family, the all that, part of it is also like viewing our lives and our identity on like a linear timeline, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and that going into like the oneness feeling, mm-hmm. like that kind of goes away, and it's a little bit also, like, it's freeing to feel that, but it's also scary.
Yes, it only because it's not understood. But one of the benefits you get from your spiritual work is you get more and more understanding, as you've already had the benefit of. It just continues, and those fears all go away. But nothing will be thrust upon you nor taken from you until you decide to let it go. But it's beautiful because, for example, with what you just said, one of the really great things that you will discover is, let's take one at your dog. Let's take your dog. As a dog is today, not older when you have to carry it outside and it's peeing on your way out the door. Not that dog. The healthy dog right now that you just love being with. It's a good thing, isn't it? That pet that you have that's all healthy and looks you right in the eyes, if you have a dog anyway. Wonderful. If you... as your mind goes back into awareness, you may have that moment, which you have now, maybe for 15 years max. Maybe there's only 5 years left. You may have that moment for eternity. That moment for eternity as a creator when you wake up. You may have that. There is no limit. Right now you're a victim. How long that lasts? When it's gone, it's going to hurt. So enjoy it while you can. I'm telling you, the book says you're suffering and you don't know it. The book says you're miserable and you don't know it. You think this is happiness. You're a constant victim to the things you love the most. That's what can hurt you the most. You know that. The more you love it, the more it can hurt. That's not good. That's not fun. It's a short-term little... it has its purpose, okay?
It's like an addiction.
Thank you. Exactly like an addiction. Yeah. So don't be afraid of waking up. Yes?
Well, I had a sharing experience with... oh. From when I went to my hairdresser... she used to have this little parrot.
Yes.
It was like her best friend. Take showers with her and in the shower. You know, yeah.
So that's like that lady, right?
It's like best, an intimate friend.
Yeah.
That's the bestie.
Yeah. And so the parrot died a couple of weeks ago, and she's still just so broken up about just...
yeah.
You can see it right at the edge of her, you know, her eyes, and it's like, don't even hardly look at her, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
And so anyways... we were talking, and I said, my cat just passed away. And I said, but it hasn't stopped the love that's there. And, you know, explaining that I can still enjoy the cat even more because the body that wasn't functioning anymore is not between us. And And it's just so much different. It's just like it's always there. I can always feel her and see her, and which is kind of interesting how much projection I actually, when I went into a meditation, it was like me projecting all these things on, like, she should be looking at me, and, you know, me purring, and she's just kind of sitting there, and I was like, oh, hi. Funny images, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so she, after, you know, she was kind of listening to me, and then went, well, how do you do that? You know, how, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, you take 3 minutes. It only takes a couple minutes. Just close your eyes and go inside. And and then she, you know, started crying. And I said, just, you know, she looked at me and I said, that's okay. Those are tears. They don't have to be sadness. It could be joy. It's joy that you're in here and your parents in there too.
Yeah.
You know? And she was just like dumbfounded. I mean, I don't know if it went over or if she got it.
But you wanted to share. You honestly wanted to share. It was so real for you. And she could see it in your eyes. You could see it. You grabbed your chest like this. She felt the love for her parrot. You felt for your cat.
Yeah.
And she says, give me that.
Yeah.
So you guys actually reached. You reached together to share that. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, it was sweet. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
Finally, it was just like, well, you're going to have to just do it to experience it. Like, you know, you just do it.
And yeah.
Because she was wondering, well, how do you do it? And just close your eyes.
See, but you gave her something. Yeah.
The chatter's going to finally go, and you'll just, you know,
nice.
Be there.
With your certainty and your simplicity, because you'd already done it, you gave her something that was sharing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good. Were you here with the meditation? I don't want to catch you cold. I don't want to catch you cold.
I missed the meditation.
Okay, well, you'll get the picture when we get around, so we'll come to you last.
Oh, cool.
Julie, what's something about sharing?
For me, presence. I think I covered this topic not too long ago, and it was the same word for me.
Presence.
It's like when I drop into a very present state with somebody, it doesn't matter if it's a hard time for them or if they're sharing joy, but it's like it's something beyond.
Yes.
And I feel it instantly.
In order to be honest, you have to get so present. Mm-hmm. In order to share something that's beyond words, you just have to be like you did. But you can see Bridget just reaching for the words. You can see it on her face. She's putting hands on her heart. She's saying, let's talk about this. And she put some words around it, and you got the idea what she was doing. And then if you have a pet that passed, you joined her. But she had to get so present to communicate what was really beyond words. Thank you. You're perfect.
And it's a twofold presence, because it's time. Mm. It's set in time, perhaps, the way we think of it.
Okay.
But it's not only that. It's like, for me, it's like you drop into this connection that's a little bit beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I get present, then I'm there's a presence.
Ha. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Putting the analytical person aside, and you connect with this presence that's just not analytical.
Yeah.
That shows up.
Yeah.
Wow. Compassion and... Yeah, what do you call that? Yeah, your spirit. Your spirit of the experience shows up.
There's a feeling to it. Like, I know when I'm there and I know when I'm not there.
Yes.
It's almost like, I've made this joke before, like this, like, are you ready to receive? Like, cause you can tell when you're not. Like, you're shut down, you're like, whatever. So when you really lock into that like, space, you know it.
It's true. There's a vulnerability to it. An honest, open vulnerability. Take me. Mm-hmm. Let's have this experience. Mm-hmm. I'm not wedded. I'm not fixed to any position. Mm-hmm. In order to share, in order to be present and have the presence speak honestly. Mm-hmm. Can't be fixed to any phrase, any word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew, because like what I'm experiencing this, I'm looking at it, realizing, well, sharing, I'm seeing, well, this is sharing, that's separation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a point where, you know, I don't want to do that, I just really don't, but I can't. And doing the sharing, is it normal not to be able to describe what's happening?
Well, yeah, as Julie beautifully did, She described
it. She was doing it pretty well, but it's like,
there's this presence.
I can't do it.
But she didn't give it a. She didn't give it an exact phrase.
Yeah, there is no exact.
She says there's
like
a feeling.
It's happening, and it's like.
She said it's a feeling. That's a journey beyond words.
Yeah, because that's what's kind of happening. You get a feeling for it. I don't know what the heck it is, but
yeah.
I looked at it. Next moment, I'm different.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of happening, and I like.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to describe it.
Well, that's the problem with spirituality, is that it's invisible.
Yeah. That's
it's ineffable.
So I'm experiencing this invisibility stuff, and it's like, whoa. Yeah. I'm needing to put some words to it, and it's.
However,
it's different.
However, as Bridget described and Julie was describing, you get into this mode of communication that is quicker and more efficient than giving her two pages. If you just sat there and said, look, read this, just change the word cat and parrot, read this. It wouldn't have done it. She had to see you there with little tears practically in your eyes, so she knew that you were actually in love with your cat like she was in love with her parrot. And you communicated that.
Mm. Isn't it even more than that, though? They were sharing the same...
This is...
It's not that you were just explaining it and doing it with her, for your cat, but the feeling was also shared.
Yeah, well, the two of you. Yeah.
The girl, the tears were in both their eyes, and she said, oh, how? I want that. That's how Bridget's friend knew that she was sharing this vulnerability in his presence. She didn't put up any objections. She was vulnerable, and Bridget was vulnerable, because they were open and undefended. And the closer you get to the truth, the less you have to defend, of course, right? The more certain you are. It's quite vulnerable in a way, because you're not defending yourself at all. You just know it is.
Yeah, when you say spirit, a lot of people just go...
Right. Yeah.
Before, I used to kind of try to edge around it. Now it's spirit. And it's like, well, what is it? And it's their spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And once you touch the spirit of something, it is a feeling. It's an awareness.
And so I'm thinking about how I know that I'm in that space, and it's because there is no striving. At all.
Mm.
It's, like I said, it can either be a very stressful situation or a beautiful moment, but there's no me trying to think of what to say, there's no, like, awkward tension, mm-hmm. there's no, it's, mm-hmm. there's just a presence.
No agenda, no striving.
And I feel no, like, perhaps I'll say something, perhaps I won't, but yes. there's just a presence.
So present.
There's just a presence.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, Julie. Well described. Very good. Tough to describe that. Thank you. Mark, what's something about sharing?
Well, you're giving away something mm-hmm. of yourself to somebody else. And it's when it really reaches somebody, it's usually something that moves you, something you're moved by. And in order for it to be something where you're actually sharing something, mm-hmm. it has to go beyond words, which is what you're talking about. It has to be, you know, something timeless, something that everybody would be moved by.
Mm.
And you have to use everything at your disposal to communicate that. Words aren't enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, gestures, emotions, you know, feelings, you know, how it affected you, whatever. So that, you know, like, and then you're in that moment and you can communicate that.
That's very good. Yeah, because what you're talking about is you're really sharing something that's important or valuable to you. Talk is cheap.
Yeah. There's an element of aliveness to it.
Genuine.
Yeah.
There's a genuine life to it.
Yeah.
I like that. You're actually sharing, you're touching a piece of your life.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you alive. You know, you own. You own that love, you own as your life.
Mm.
You are bringing out. That's pretty vulnerable. But yeah,
your humanity, you know.
Yes, that's sharing.
It's like a,
that's
I mean, I've actually done a lot of this, and usually when I one of the things that always, where I always felt like I felt connected to people,
yes,
is when I would tell one on myself. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like a lot of the times I act this way, but I really don't feel like that.
Right, right. You show one of these vulnerabilities and undefended moment.
And then everybody laughs, you know, and then you feel better and they relax.
Their guard goes down. They tell you an embarrassing story.
Right.
And the guard goes, and you're undefended.
Yeah.
And you're really sharing now your life.
Yeah.
Your being. That's good. And somebody else could discover something about their own life that they never told anybody because they decided to share with you. That happens. You've done it with other people. You discovered something about yourself because you decided to just open up for a moment.
Yeah.
That's right. Very good. Excellent. Life. See, the point with that one is that's how you know you've experienced sharing. Mm. If you just told me what you read in the newspaper today, you shared with me what you read in the newspaper, but you did not feel that you shared. So I like what you did there. Beautiful. Yes.
And then, you know, bringing in what Julie said, you know, I mean, if you're not present when you're doing that, then it's not happening right.
Well, be genuine. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good, good. Ken, what's something about sharing? Some aspect of sharing?
Well, I got several ideas. One of them was, you said we practice the story.
Yes.
So I get home and I go, oh, guess what? Was that at Crossroads and Eric's Deli closed? And I was like, what? Why? It's just, that's a sharing. It's just storytelling.
You know?
So I'm at the dentist and he got me Novocaine and he's drilling away and every once in a while he'll go, how you doing? I think, I'm okay. But I got all the other thoughts going on that I don't tell them.
Yes, yes. Yes.
You watch myself be scared and not scared.
Uh-huh.
Tell myself I'm doing okay.
Uh-huh. What you let out was I'm doing okay.
Yeah,
what's on the inside is this guy's drilling through my teeth.
Yeah.
Then put that back. Uh-huh. What if he goes too far? How much is this going to cost me if he does?
Here's just the skull to hit the brain.
Yeah. How close is that to my brain?
And then he's like picking away, you know. And I got a hold of my jaw. And you share?
You start thinking thoughts.
You're sharing
like,
the experience.
Yeah.
I feel it.
You start realizing.
I can relate to that.
Half of the dentists, we all have dentists, I assume. Half of us, half of our dentists are below average. Just, you know, by definition.
Nice to know. Thank you.
I'm just telling you. Maybe it was
confident.
Something for you to think about next time they're picking at your teeth.
Oh, one average.
So the other half are above average?
It was multiple.
The other half are above average.
Why did you throw that in?
That's kind of a cool thing. Where did you find that bit of information?
It's math.
I don't believe that.
It's one of the beauties of math.
My dentist is way above average.
Oh, excellent! Nothing to worry about.
I can't even pronounce his name.
Oh, he's got to be good.
He's gone.
With a name like that.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I mean, think about it. Everything is...
Well, I got another one. So, I was in Ray LeClaire's group meeting last night, and I was going, what would my life be like if I didn't have my name?
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's big.
That's a big one. All that story, all that stuff?
It all hinged on that name. On that identity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dang, lesson 10.
Good. So these thoughts, though, all of those thoughts that you have,
storytelling.
Yeah,
what would you be like without your name? These are, thank you for sharing those with us. You did it practically. Mm-hmm. What was going on with you? They're moving. They're, each of those were moving. Mm-hmm. They're each moving stories. The deli closes down, or I always go to Costco aisle 311 and it was not there this time. And they said, we're not carrying that product anymore. What?
The chocolate hummus, wasn't it?
The chocolate hummus! Regular hummus is so boring.
I know, I hate that when they do that.
They just
turn my
stuff. Yeah! God! But it's moving. It's moving. And when you can share the stories like that, they're very moving. You shared something that connects with life. It's part of life. Moving through life. Thank you. Well, what's something about sharing?
I had to write down chocolate hummus.
You had this yet? You tried that?
No, I have to experiment with it.
It should not be good. I mean, but it is.
Well, good. Who knows? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I'm telling you. What?
Yeah. Sharing. I was thinking, the first word I thought of was honesty. But there's a deeper level on that. It's intimacy.
Intimacy. Mm-hmm. There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Into me. See. Intimacy. Mm. Yes. Mm. Beautiful. That's sharing.
And it's a
That's sharing, right?
And it's such a relief.
Yes.
When you do that.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Why? Go.
Why don't I do this all the time?
Yes. Yes. You were sharing your life. You're intimate. This wonderful, the vulnerability, the little nervousness that just goes away as you open.
Don't even think about anything.
Oh, what a way to live, afterwards. Walt.
Whoa.
What a way to live, sharing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That's it.
But doesn't it matter what it is you're being intimate about? Like, I mean, I had a really great breakfast today.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
But I think the intimacy would be about what was it about it that made it great to you?
Yeah.
Just to say I had a great breakfast doesn't tell you a thing about me.
Right. But you can still be intimate.
It depends on how you
could be intimate. You said I found a really great gas station.
It's a depth of experience.
And the person could get that. Right? They could really get it that you found a great gas station.
Okay, this happened. This happened with Stephen. Is it Stephen? He sat in the same chair. Stephen. Oh, he sat in the same chair.
The hash browns.
And he told us that he, hash browns. That he would drive up on his way to Tahoe and stop at a truck stop behind the main truck stop and sit down, and he would order up the hash browns. And the server brought these hash browns, and we got them, and he ate them. Yeah. And she said, "How's your meal?"
Yeah.
And he said to her, "Excuse me, but these are the best hash browns I've ever had in my whole life. They're the hash browns that I wish I always get, but I never get, but now I got, and thank you." And she went into tears.
That's intimate. And
he was so honest.
That could change your life.
It actually meant something to him. Yeah. Life
doesn't matter what it is, it depends on how you say it.
Thank you. Life showed up for him, and he got rewarded. For $2.75, he got everything he wanted for once in this stinking life. And it was breakfast. And it was breakfast. No, he showed her and ran. Didn't pay for anything.
Of course.
Said, "Well, if you're so happy, you pay for it." That's what he said. Yeah. No, that was intimate.
Mm.
So, yes.
No doubt.
Yeah. That was crazy, wasn't it? Remember that? You were here for that.
That was such a
like, wow.
That was great. It made me want to go to that place.
I know.
I thought there was something about reminding him of his grandmother.
Oh, right. The grandmother had made him like that. That's right. Yeah. And he would be searching for him ever since. Mm. And it's just potatoes, for crying out loud. Potatoes with a girdle, some butter. What? Why can't this always happen this way? It doesn't. But it did then. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Intimate. Oh, intimate. Carol, what's something about sharing?
Well, I think it's blending essences, really.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Connecting from your being, and it's at a whole nother level where it's definitely beyond words. And you move out of yourself.
Nice. You move out of yourself. Uh-huh. That is absolutely required. Mm-hmm. Your protected little self that knows, that is a certain way, the one you know, you have to move out of that. It feels different when that happens, doesn't it?
And it feels like the most important one, then.
Ooh.
That's key there.
Yeah. It's a very different feeling not to be the most important one in the conversation. Wow! What are you doing out there like that? Walt says you're having a great time. Why I do it more often, I don't know. It's so great to be that intimate, to be that open and undefended.
Yeah, being kind of daring sometimes.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. You might actually, if you're that open and you're sharing the details about how you really feel with another and you get busted that what you've been thinking is silly, you might have to change now. At least when you're around them. Because you just admitted together, they got inside, and you saw together how silly that belief was. The one you've been hanging on to as a pet, so to speak, being the victim or whatever. Yes, a little risky, because you may have to change whether you want to or not.
I've had experiences when I've shared myself with somebody. Mm-hmm. They said something like, that I wasn't necessarily proud of, and the person goes, "Oh, really?"
Like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. So there's a risk. There's a risk when you share yourself because you're being vulnerable.
Yes.
So you know you put it out there, and it's not always you don't always get a positive result.
I love that you gave that example because in all you do this a lot. So all the examples of your sharing times, that one stands out and says more about them than it does about you.
True. Yeah.
You thank you. Let's talk about sports.
Yeah, right.
Some people want to shut you down if you get into that.
It says a lot about them and how intimate they're willing to be.
It gets like, oh no, don't.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
And they're being honest. Yeah. They're being honest, and you can respect that.
Yeah.
Luann, what's something about sharing?
I don't know how this is related, actually. Mm. But what came up for me was just recently in the book somewhere, I got a better understanding of what the first 30 lessons were about. Mm. When it says, you only get that post there means something to you, but you only get your idea of it.
Yes.
Okay, and so what I gathered was, there is nothing in this world that I am perceiving that I know anything, that I know the truth about.
Nice.
The whole truth about.
Yes.
And I thought, oh good, well if I don't know the whole truth about something, then that's a good excuse not to judge it.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that's I can summarize that as open-minded.
So what I found recently is it's really easy for me to catch myself judging and saying, why in the heck do you think you're doing that when you don't know anything about it anyway?
Oh, man, sister, you're doing the work.
So something about that goes with an experience I had not too long ago in which I walked out of the house and I was going to walk around the block and I had a really happy sense and I said, I'm going to smile at everybody I see. And I don't care how they respond. Mm-hmm. They can accept it or they don't have to, but I'm just going to enjoy loving them by smiling at them. Mm-hmm. And for me, that felt very intimate with almost everybody on the block, mm-hmm. the workmen that were in the street and everybody. And I got home feeling great. There was only one person who has head down, and I still smiled at him. I said, I'm so sorry you weren't available.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I said.
And yet in that moment, you smiled.
I was still feeling like smiling.
Yeah, giving and receiving.
Right, the workmen on the street all smiled back. We started talking, having a good time.
It's contagious. Good.
So, something about...
Walt wants to know why you don't do that all the time.
Does he?
Every day, now that you know...
I see the perplexed look on his face, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's wondering. Now that you know, why don't you do it all the time?
It's okay for him.
Am I wrong about that?
I mean, once you've been there. Once you've been there for a whole day, and it was just great.
Well, actually, I do smile a lot at people.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because if I don't know them, that's as intimate as I can be.
Nice. And you've got a rationale, which is you didn't know. You don't know enough to judge, so why judge? In fact, let's just smile. Beautiful.
Something about, just what I said, implies intimacy to me.
Yes. Bridget, what's something about Sharon?
Oh, I did my cat.
Yes,
cat
you did.
Therapy.
I'll take that. Cecily, what's something about
Sharon? I already did my share, too.
And you really did. Mm-hmm. Don, what's something about Sharon?
Okay. Well, there's two types of sharing. There's like giving.
Mm-hmm.
You can, there's giving to get,
okay,
or sharing to get.
Okay.
Or like you're doing it for your own ego, for instance.
Yeah.
You want to look like a cool guy or whatever.
Yes.
Or you want to do it just so that you can expect something in return.
Yeah.
Maybe like, you know, some kindness that you crave,
mm-hmm,
from a person, mm-hmm, in a relationship or pretty much, you know, whatever interaction. It could be like a tool,
mm-hmm,
sharing to get.
Yep.
But then there's sharing out of just the goodness of your heart, to quote a phrase. And out of the joy that's in you, you want everybody to have it. And so, and that's its own reward, in my opinion. Yes.
Yes. That was like you and the cobwebs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Cleaning the
cobwebs? Well, you went and cleaned the cobwebs.
Okay.
You decided.
It was really sharing.
You decided to go forward out of your own unit and clean the cobwebs for your landlord.
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
And that experience.
Now I remember.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It turned into a joyful giving.
Yeah, I got tired of looking at them anyway.
And yeah, so there's a motivation there. But what came out of it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yes.
So Bridget and I, we read the Course of Miracles.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Morning.
Yes.
And I have to go through it to try and change the word to the. To that, to this, and I need to try, and Bridget is caring enough to correct me, and that's a sharing.
Yes.
That we
look at that.
Have to go through.
Yes.
It's a caring sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And why that little word mattered.
Yeah.
That's what you two end up getting to share. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just a little word.
Mm-hmm.
Huge teachings are in there.
Yeah.
Why it chose two instead of from or that or whatever. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to slow down, open it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's slowing you down.
Mm-hmm.
We missed the whole thing if I went through it without mistake.
That's right. That's right. It's true.
It's true. Whoa.
Unlike life.
What would it be like if it didn't trip up on a word?
It's so true. That's one of the reasons why it's written with double, triple negatives, mm-hmm, in iambic pentameter with multiple, mm-hmm, levels written in there. You can't just read it like a novel.
Yeah.
It'll touch you and you'll say, whoa, I felt something, but what? What does that even mean? Slow you down so that you can teach yourself with your own understanding.
The only problem with that is it takes me so long to read a paragraph.
What is that?
That that all my whole time for the whole day for everything else is gone.
Yes.
It says if you got the first couple lines, you wouldn't have to do the whole book.
It's
you
true.
You get the first, whatever in that book.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, repetition is vital.
That doesn't count. What she said doesn't cancel my experience.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Right.
That's her experience.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Mine's my experience.
Yes. Yes. Oh yes, because you are both. Both of your spirits are coming from the truth and for the truth. You come slightly different angles. Your different facets on the gem. You do not see things the same. But when you look inward, you can share the same light. When you look outward, it's two different worlds.
And I love, Kenny, that it's, to me, just your perspective about it is kind of a miracle. Because you could look at, dyslexia or tripping up on words as like a... As a negative thing, as a problem, as something that, gets in the way. But then you can switch it around and see it as, actually, in this case, an asset, because it slows you down and gives you and Bridget a chance to work more slowly and profoundly on the text. And to me, that's, a perfect example of a miracle, because it's just a shift in perspective.
Turning a positive,
not the exact same thing.
Turning it positive from a potential negative.
Yeah.
And it's being used. Yes.
Walt was saying about intimate. I think that reading the Course out loud is so much more intimate. It's just astounding, the difference.
Singing my song.
Yeah.
You want to tell us more about that? I have a little speech I give on that for newbies, but let me hear your.
I don't know. I don't think I have words for a speech. It's just that I know. Sometimes I think it takes me so much longer to do that. I'm getting the same thing from just reading it. And then I go, oh, come on, Carol. You know the difference. So then I will read it out loud, and it just feels like it just goes right in.
Yeah.
Compared to kind of maybe skimming over the surface a little bit.
It's so true.
That's because you're learning it in two different forms.
So what's your speech? I don't think I've ever
heard of it.
Well, that's one aspect of it, is that you're using visual and you're using oral. When you open your mouth and speak it, now the words are not showing up only on the printed page into your brain. They're showing up in space, coming into your ears, filling the room, or wherever you are. You're filling that space with the words. So it's different than just quietly seeing them printed on the page.
Then I get a real physical reaction.
That's the other part.
Yeah, when I'm reading it out loud.
Yes. Yes. The physical reaction is because you've changed it from mental to physical. It's actually hitting you now when your ear is bigger. Your voice and the sound is bigger now. It's filling the space when you can hear it. And you're committed now. You're committed to actually doing the word by speaking it. And the whole sentence by finishing it. And when we read out loud, we tend to read the whole sentence, stop. Not half, go back to the start, another third, go back to the start. Think about our Costco list, start the whole paragraph over. Right? When you're speaking out loud, you tend to just run through it. And when you do, you get the whole message that's in the whole sentence or paragraph, and you go, oh, that's what it's trying to say. Because you got to hear the whole song through, not just part of the melody. And that's because it gives you continuity of study. When you speak it out loud, you'll tend to finish your sentences.
Well, for me, it becomes a much more emotional experience by reading it out loud.
There's commitment involved.
Yeah.
There's a whole body commitment involved when you read.
I think that's...
When I can get moved to tears or just feel warm all over, just whatever, that's... Yeah.
It sounds like there's another person in the room.
other than just you when you're reading.
Yes. Right.
You're not alone.
Right.
Yeah, no, very powerful. Yeah, yeah, it's good. Good.
Yeah, it kind of makes me, if there's words I don't know, understand, look it up.
Yes.
You know, I just have my phone right there. It's so easy.
Yes.
Pronounces it.
Yes.
It's like, oh, and it takes me down a whole nother.
Yeah, there's so much. It's a great thing to do.
Where before, if I was just reading to myself, it'd just be like kind of smooch over it.
I'm in a hurry to get this read.
Yeah, just finish this paragraph. I'll come back.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. So true. No wasted words in here. You look them up and you go, wow, that word. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
I don't understand how this group's brain works. I got my own.
It
is that.
We're sharing our intent.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You. What?
No. We're sharing our intent to confuse you.
Yeah. By meeting over the same talking point.
Yeah.
These words, these pages, when we all say forgiveness here, it's way different than when we say forgiveness outside this room.
Yeah.
And that's why this brain works. Because we're converging rather than diverging. Mm-hmm. We're doing something very beautiful here. And so is Jesus reaching through with Course in Miracles to you.
Basically sharing.
Yes.
We're doing with this, that lesson, we're doing the thing. It's to me, there's this sharing going on, period. Can't explain it, but it's just happening.
Yes.
Because as everybody talks and I'm listening to what they're saying, I got more than if I read a page or two.
I got more. Because when you share, now that whatever you shared has been legitimized, what you've said, if it was received, if it was properly shared, it was received and given back to you, legitimizing it in your own brain, making it stronger, because it was shared and received and given back, maybe even bigger than what you had before.
Yeah, in other words, the giving and receiving is one thing.
Yes. Now the giving and receiving is one thing.
Yeah. And I'll experience it here, but don't ask me how to explain it.
And to try to say that it was either giving or receiving is no longer accurate. In sharing.
Yes, it's an interaction now.
It's a true interaction now. So we need another word.
So it's becoming more like oneness.
Yes. We have to call it sharing.
So we're, the best word I guess we use, what I'm using now for that is reflecting.
Okay. So
we
now.
We can't see it, but we can reflect what it is since we can't really see the oneness.
All that's great. You surfaced really, really nicely. You surfaced where we need to go. Now, go to our... Oh. Do you have something about Joan? And you can pass because you didn't get to sit with it.
You need to hear from Joy.
That was just a beautiful moment for me because it was like I'm listening to everyone share and the joy is bubbling up within me and I'm so excited. And so... Anyway, now I trip myself up because I felt a little emotion coming up. And I do cry a lot, but I cry when I'm happy too. It's kind of like I was listening to each and every one of you. And my mind, I was practicing just being still, not... And so what ended up happening, I experienced intimacy with each one of you sharing. And I'm so grateful that in the beginning I said sharing. I don't want to talk about sharing. I just got here, right?
That's it, sharing. You just said you're sharing. So you described it perfectly.
She just demonstrated sharing.
There you go.
Are you finished yet?
Yes, you did it.
But anyway, the long and the short of it, by the time it came around, I was so excited to share something that happened right before I came here, and it was very intimate. And then you were going to move on, and I thought, gosh. I got all worked up for nothing, and then you caught yourself. Anyway, I was at another meeting with a lot of people, and in this group, people share, okay, and nobody, you know, there's no what's called crosstalk or, you know, making comments or anything like that. We're all listening intently. And I was distracted by this younger woman who was breathtakingly beautiful to me. And she was so adorable. She had on these long black gloves and the spaghetti dress, you know. And of course, she's very beautifully shaped, and she's got black, coal black hair, which I love. And I was watching her, and also in that moment when I looked at her, I could feel the joy bubble up. And so when the meeting closed, I ran up to her, and I was so excited. I just, you know, and I could tell she was, so I touched the glove, and I said, you know, I used to wear black gloves like that. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, she was happy to hear that, and then the conversation just went very smoothly. She asked for my phone number. And it is an indescribable thing in the sense that we were both fully present.
Yeah. That's nice. You guys actually met. You had a commonality.
Yes. Yes.
That was obvious.
Yes. Yes.
And so you joined over that. Yes. No barriers were there. She recognized you and you recognized her even before you spoke. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a nice sharing.
It was beautiful. Thank
yeah,
you.
Indeed. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, turn to page 436, paragraph 3, because what we're working on is one of the metaphysical aspects, teachings of A Course in Miracles. Idols. Mm-hmm. Idolatry.
I know the fun they bring.
And all the fun you have with that. Read it for us, Mark.
Okay.
Paragraph 3.
But idols do not share.
Oh!
Idols accept, but never make return. They can be loved, but cannot love. They do not understand what they are offered, and any relationship in which they enter has lost its meaning. The love of them has made love meaningless. They live in secrecy, hating the sunlight, and happy in the body's darkness where they can hide and keep their secrets hidden along with them. And they have no relationships, for no one else is welcome there. They smile on no one, and those who smile on them, they do not see.
Pretty far from the sharing beautiful stories we've all gone around the room describing. So, idols and sharing are at an opposite, which is why it's such an important concept in A Course in Miracles. The idols are a shortcut in this world of separation, substitutes for life.
Yeah.
Substitutes for sharing a way of life, of living.
I feel like I was describing a black hole or something.
Yes, you were.
Yep.
That is why Jesus says, you who are the separated ones are miserable, and you don't even know you're miserable. It's a black hole, this idolatry. It's mighty convenient. You start to take the drug. The drug seems to work, you know, it's cheap, you can get it, you use it for a while, minutes, hours, maybe. But that's not really, that's not joy, freedom.
you can't share the drug. It's so very private. And then it turns into a private hell as it wears out.
But you know, in the Christian church, where they have, you know, representations of Christ on the cross.
Yes.
Isn't that an idol, in a way? I mean, they're lifeless.
Yes. Yes.
You're praying to something that cannot give you anything back.
Yes. So is Course in Miracles. So is Course in Miracles. If you pray to your Course in Miracles, if you think this book is special, if you think this actually has something that's going to save you, it's an idol, and it must go also.
Mm. But same way.
Some people need that. It depends on where you are in your awakening. Mm. You need something in your life that's maybe better than all the crap that you're trying to let go of. Mm. Well, give me a statue. Here, stare at this instead. Useful. Mm. Then you go beyond it. Yes.
What you just said explains to me the connection I have between I don't understand what anything means completely. I have ideas, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So, an idol is not understandable. So you think you're going to be getting something from it, but you don't really know what you're going to get because you don't understand the thing. So there's no point in having them anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
a symbol.
It's a symbol.
Symbol of belief.
And that belief comes out of your head.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Those beliefs are, for me now, incomplete.
Yeah.
My ideas of what things are, like that cushion, for instance, with the elephants on it, is probably different than yours.
Absolutely.
So why do I think...
So how can it mean anything?
How can it mean anything? If it's not...
It would be a story.
And so for me, then, that what you said is exactly why Jesus on the cross is a symbol of Jesus. It's not the cross. But what does that symbol really mean? It's incomplete. I don't know how to say it can be my idol anymore because I don't know it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. It was useful for a time, perhaps. And then you've outgrown it.
Maybe.
But you outgrow it. You outgrow these things.
The only way that I think that that could be of use is if it sparks something inside you, and then it causes you to go deeper into yourself.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, because if you just thought that like your whole belief was that cross, then you wouldn't get anything out of it because there isn't anything there. It's a piece of wood.
And it gets lost. It's stolen.
Yeah,
it happens. Now what? You lost. Yeah. That's right.
But the other nice thing about it is, in terms of the book keeps saying, we don't have to do that last step. God will do it for us.
Yep.
So if I don't understand anything, it's okay.
Yep. Because the sooner you don't understand anything, it's okay. Right now, you understand everything, before course anyway. You understood everything, and that was the problem. And whatever you didn't understand, you figured you could just pick it up.
So I love that statement we studied a little while ago. I don't know.
Good. Yes.
I don't know. So how can I idolize you? I don't know.
Good one. That's right.
You can idolize a teacher. Teachers.
Mm-hmm. As you can, while that's useful. But then you'll see the fallacy in that as well. The teacher is just a symbol of what you are learning. There's actually only one teacher. And it is you.
Yeah.
There are pointers like me, or the Course, or these great phrases that help wake you up to what is true for you, which I do not know. I'm trying with my words and with my stories and and what we do here, and love it. But that's just actually growing me, my awakening and my awareness, which is slightly different from yours.
I was just thinking of a place, it was a retreat, and the guru was getting older and older, and a lot of the staff was concerned, what are we going to do when he passes?
Yes.
And I was just like, interesting.
Yes, the crash.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's a saying called, when you meet the Buddha on the road, kill it.
Yes, that's why. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. If the truth ever seems to appear outside of you, that's meeting the Buddha on the road. Well, you should kill that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes.
That's A Course in Miracles. It's an inside job, and there's no other way to read this book. Nobody can say that they have the secret. You know, when you read this book, this... Always showing you, you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that you know that idols do not share... Let's go try to pick up some more of page 618. 618 in the text. And we're going to work this over and over.
Yep. For those of you who missed the last
3 weeks. Yep. Don't fret. We're going to read the same stuff that you would have read if you were here last week. Yay! You up to bat, Kenny? You going to read?
No.
Okay, Walt, okay. You ready for us?
Mm-hmm.
618, paragraph 5.
Idols must fall because they have no life.
And you remember what Mark said? He got down to... When you're really sharing, it's something of your life. It's life itself that's unique to you and you really own and feel. That's how you can feel the sharing, that sharing. So idols have no life. That's a stick of wood, right? A piece of wood. It has no life. So it cannot share.
Mm.
But I also think when we think of what a person is outside of maybe you know, ourselves... What we think of them is not what they are.
It's, right, it's just another idol. That's correct.
Mm.
So therefore, it doesn't give us life either.
That's correct. Without sharing, there's no life.
Without the intimacy, then there's no, or the presence.
That's why we did separation and it's been so successful. Wait till you see what he's about to read.
Idols must fall because they have no life. And what is lifeless is a sign of death. You came to die, and what would you expect but to perceive the signs of death you seek?
You came here to die. You who had existence before this dream came into this dream to die. You know the book says all over the place, lesson 163, lesson 167, that there's no such thing as death. But you came here to die anyway. Because in your powerful mind, as a creator mind, you've cooked up this big story and journey where the eternal Son of God, the eternal extension of creation itself, could die. But there's more.
Yeah? Well, I think in this sense, dying means we came here to experience separation.
Right?
Experience separation from our source, and that in itself is a death.
Mm. Yeah!
So that's why we're here.
You remember it also in the workbook in around the 190s or so, it starts talking about death and loss and pain, and it says, you know, death, it's any loss.
Well, representative of the separation, the original separation.
Culminating in manifesting separation. But to make separation feel real, there had to be some way to lose black. Some way that you, who are actually everything that is, could experience not that. Could experience loss. Could experience lack.
So death is really a metaphor for separation.
Yes. And loss. It's a metaphor for loss. Separation is a loss of unity.
Right.
But you really want to get that loss of unity going so that you can feel separate. So that your name means something.
And then seeing your name in lights is kind of like the sign of death.
Yeah. The death of unity for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, please continue.
No sadness and no suffering proclaim a message other than an idol found that represents a parody of life which, in its lifelessness, is really death, conceived as real and given living form. Yet each must fail and crumble and decay, because a form of death cannot be life, and what is sacrificed cannot be whole.
It's inevitable. You can't keep death unless you know what it is. Back to Cecily's comment. As you awaken and you understand what's really going on, you may choose to keep it or to release it or to relive it. But until then, you're only going to lose it. It's just how it is. Let's continue. Who's up next?
All idols of this world were made to keep the truth within from being known to you.
From being hidden, right?
Huh?
Yeah.
From being known to you, and to maintain allegiance to the dream that you must find what is outside yourself to be complete and happy. It is vain to worship idols in the hope of peace. God dwells within, and your completion lies in Him. No idol takes His place. Look not to idols. Do not seek outside yourself.
He's saying, please give this some real consideration. I know you're addicted. I know you're addicted. And you've been striving for longer than you're willing to know on seeking outside yourself and finding happiness in the world. Give this some serious consideration. And as the book guides us, it just takes one holy instant of forgiveness, following a shift in perception, the release of which goes so quick and so deep and so free, and you will breathe perhaps for the first time in your whole life. There's no turning back from that. But that's what we're here for. That's a spiritual awakening. That's what we're here for.
So wait. Do not look outside, or do not seek outside yourself.
Yes.
Goes with what you just said previously, I'm everything there is. So,
yes.
What's the point in seeking outside myself?
Yes.
There is no point.
There's no point in doing that.
Is within me.
There's no point in doing that.
There's no point, but we're easily distracted, you know, as human beings.
Yes.
It's very easy for us to think that something that we've seen or that we've heard is the way to go.
Especially if you're hesitating, somehow life isn't going your way today.
Yeah, right. You seek solutions outside yourself.
You seek a solution outside yourself, and you might have a few in the cupboard that work.
Yeah.
For a bit.
For a bit. No, that's right, Luann.
You want me to read now?
This is Ego's Anonymous. We're here to...
It is.
We're here to admit we're powerless over this whole drama of being this body with a name. And we have got to somehow put that down. It seems impossible because you rely on it so much. And it's everywhere. And yet, true freedom can only be had if you can awaken your spiritual identity, which is beyond your body. It is the context that holds your body. You can't exist without the real you. So don't worry about it not being there. But you got to put the drug down. That's a tough thing to do. That's why we need a meeting. We have 365 easy to follow steps. The other guys only have 12.
This is tough.
Come on, you know what we're up against. All right, let's continue.
What?
Let us forget the purpose of the world the past has given it. For otherwise, the future will be like the past, and but a series of depressing dreams in which all idols fail you one by one, and you see death and disappointment everywhere.
He's just saying, here comes. He says, you know, in case you didn't notice, from, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Let's forget the purpose of the world the past has given it. For otherwise, the future will be just like the past. And you're going to get what you've always got. Which is a depressing series of depressing dreams in which all idols fail you one by one. And you see death and disappointment everywhere. Yeah, let's not do that anymore. That's the prescription that you've already received for yourself. That's the drug that you're taking.
If you followed your you know, negative thoughts to their logical conclusion, that's what you would get.
That's what you would get.
Yeah.
Or if you believed in so-called idol as the end-all and be-all, that's what you would get.
That's what you will get.
You don't buy
Except,
idol.
See, the problem is you believe idols are the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. But they are not.
That's what
because
I meant.
Because they, it's exactly what you said, but they can't share, they can't live.
But what about, like you know, a billionaire who just, you know, they have like six yachts and,
yes.
you know, 10 houses and, you know, they that's their life, they enjoy it. So at some point, I mean, some people get all that and then they go, Jesus, is that all there is?
Yeah.
And then they have a sense of despair, and then they have to reorganize their life so that, you know, they so that there's value around
them. Then they search out more idols.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean
there's
more.
People that live their whole life, you know, with, you know.
You guys heard my ice cream story? I know I've told it so many times. So, remember Adi Shanti?
Sure. Yeah.
And I went to one of his retreats up in Sausalito, in his $4 or $5 million house, and when they got we could wander through the house during the break, and I went into the master bedroom, which is a little higher than any other room in the house, with this full wall of glass. And when they wake up, looking between their toes, they see the Golden Gate Bridge.
Good.
Wow, I was thinking, man, 5-car garage, and wow, this is really some top of the hill in Sausalito. Okay, whoa. So I'm walking around quietly, respectfully, you know, and I hear the lady of the house, who's this 38-something or other woman, and she's describing to some other women that in the pantry area, to this massive kitchen, is a freezer box so big. She says, that's my Haagen-Dazs freezer. No kidding. She says caramel chocolate cookie dough. She named this flavor. She says, damn it if sometimes the store runs out. And that's all I want after my work day. I come home or wherever I've been. I finish traveling. And if I'm coming from the airport, I just want to sit down and have some of this Haagen-Dazs, which I know works for me. And they're out. Well, not anymore. I've got a freezer that is stocked, and I keep that in there. And she said, there's a bunch of cartons of this stuff in there. I said, whoa.
That's scary. That is
so
scary.
So I went out.
She could be eating tofu. I mean, come on.
I'm sure she has tofu also.
I'm not going to judge that.
No, you don't have to. I'm telling you. Yeah, but, you know, she's hosting Adi Shanti.
Go for it.
This woman has dedicated her life to trying to get to peace and freedom and awakenness. And she's making great progress, but she's got a little crutch. Hit that, right? So I just went out, I sat down in their beautiful driveway, and I just meditated on that for a few minutes. And I just, because I could see this parallel of a monk in India who would let go of everything in his life, swear off his family and his wife and his mother and father and everything he owns, and take up a used robe and a bowl and sit in the cave, only to come down long enough to beg for enough rice to make it another night for 20 years so that he could get to where she got. He went the route of nothing, and she went the route of everything, because she could, millions and millions of dollars. She went there, but they're both after the exact same goal, which is to sit there like this and go, good morning. I need nothing.
I've got everything.
I've got everything. I need nothing. I am complete. I have finally arrived at this simple, simple acceptance that I am perfect just the way I am right now. The one with nothing and the one with everything have the exact same goal. And it just doesn't matter which way you go. If you got the millions, get that freezer going, let's go. If you don't want to go the millions route, let go of everything. But just be, in the end, you're just going to arrive at the exact same spot of a very simplicity.
And they're both trying to get rid of the body. So they're both believing in the body, and
yes,
that's what we're really here to do. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Just at some point, you
deny the body with asceticism, or feed the body everything you could possibly ever want times 10. So it just wakes up and says, I can't think of one more thing I want. Ah, I did! How's the weather? It's even a good weather day. I got everything. Golden Gate Bridge, yeah. Everything's beautiful. They're not painting it today. This is the best day I've ever had in my whole life, he says.
I'm skeptical of whether she had that kind of an attitude.
But it's what she's after.
Oh, yeah.
The meditator, right. I'm skeptical, too, about the meditator going on year 12, saying, well, I think by 20 I'm going to get it. Because the guru says you should try at least 20 years. He's on 12 years. I'm still a little skeptical. Yeah. This is working. Yeah. His motivations are pure. But, as the Course says, this is a long, drawn-out way, but in the end, all roads with a focused function will be successful. Mm. If you really want to let go of the body, you will.
And we try to give that a body, the funner it gets.
It's a choice. It's a choice. Yeah. And it turns, also, this hit me during that meditation also, is that it's not a process. It is a moment. It's an instant. When you finally say, I want nothing. That didn't take 20 years of meditating or $4 million of investment. What it took was a single thought.
Or 365 lessons.
Or 365 lessons practiced over and over. It was not a process. Very good, Walt. What it was is you finally decided to afford to be that simple and that honest and that present. That's what it was. And all ever be. Which is what you've heard these gurus say. You don't have to sit for 15 years in a cave like I did. They know it's true. They couldn't do it. They didn't do it. Nobody told them. But it's not a process. Especially if there's no time.
I heard so many people at Adi, going, because Misako and I went to see Adi Shanti for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Some of you people would come and say that they had been at a monastery for 2 years,
Yeah.
And they still hadn't, achieved that. And he always thought that was kind of funny when people would say that. I mean, you could tell he thought it was funny that people, like it doesn't take time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you paid your fees and you didn't get what you paid for.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
He told a story that he went for about 12 years to one teacher. And he realized everybody there was older. He started when he was like 18. Mm. And he realized everybody there was pretty much where they started.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I decided I had to do it differently than what they were doing because I wanted to be where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be at the same place 10 years from now or 20 mm-hmm. or 30 years from
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to let go of a whole lot of stuff in order to get where he is, and I'm still not quite sure that he is exactly where he wants to be.
Yeah, yeah.
This really ties into our discussion about idols.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, giving up one idol for another and another and another until you finally realize you don't need any idols.
Yes, the idol didn't give you anything.
That's right. They're just symbols.
Just symbols.
Of what you want them to be.
Yes. Now, on the other hand, when you have one of these intimate moments that we were prescribing at the beginning of the meeting, you got somewhere. You had an experience of sharing that was moving and defining as to what love actually is. Mm. That is an awareness, a spiritual awareness that's beyond words. And it was done via sharing. Mm. Not with an idol, but actually with a presence of life. Mm-hmm. And then later, we'll be discussing the term life and the term light and weaving those two together.
Thank goodness.
And you'll start to see more metaphysics of A Course in Miracles that was working the whole time. Every time it said the word life, every time it said the word light, there was a teaching behind that. Don't get me started because we're out of time, but it's really beautiful. Mm. So one day we will do that. But for now, we will close the meeting.
What chapter is that?
Give me the pill.
I might just like preview it.
Just skip to that.
Go for it.
But you know what? Go on my website, and I hope it's posted. There's a meditation called Life and Light, and listen to that.
On your website?
My website, under free audio meditations. And I was so excited when I came out of meditation for me. I got right up and I recorded that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's have a circle. We will return to these same paragraphs next week.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We can't.
There's so much more that we need to pull out.
Okay.
And you won't believe what's coming next. I don't believe.
But you said we're going to keep doing this.
We are now sharing a circle. There was not a circle. There was a bunch of intent with no resistance. There was patience as it formed, all knowing what was coming. And now we have it, hand in hand. Your hand is the most important thing. It's equally important as any other. You are making the circle. We are sharing a circle. Recognize that you alone cannot do this. But together, we can. And we do. And there's no end to what we can do together. But there is an end to what you can do alone. Sharing. And no more idols. They're just fake. We will continue to study this wonderful metaphysics of A Course in Miracles to deliver you from the false to the true. Thank you for studying. Mm. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Your hand is so warm.
While you're talking.
Yeah. Well,
good.
Yeah. Inco wait.
Yeah. I'll see you all.
Do you have the whole week off somewhere?
So they're gone already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the whole week off.
Well, yeah, we could have the main part about that.